is Halloween.
Have you watched any Halloween movies, actually?
No.
I
haven't.
I watched Nightmare Before Christmas, as is my Halloween tradition.
Would you consider that a Halloween film or a Christmas film?
It's a Halloween movie. It's mostly Halloween in my head, but I would say both, yeah.
I watch it both times, so I'll watch it for Halloween and for Christmas. Same with Harry Potter.
Do you know what? That's actually very fair.
Yeah, like Harry Potter, I get the Halloween-y, but I'd always be like Christmas.
It's proper Christmas-like. Yeah. It's proper definitely. Christmas.
It's definitely more for Christmas, but like I understand why it plays during Halloween as well, because it's like, ooh, spooky vibes.
I think it's because like RTE always played at Christmas. So, do you know, from when you were a kid, it's like, okay, it's like the RTE movie at like 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, it's Christmas. Harry Potter's on. I see.
Yeah.
It's like that and the Coca-Cola ad. They were the
yes
indicators of Christmas.
That fucking Coca-Cola ad is so nice. And you know the little girl eating the cornflakes?
The cornflake.
Oh.
Yes.
I love that
and she's
ad.
Like, I love it.
Literally the cutest child in the world. She's probably older than all of us combined at this point. But
she's like fucking old.
Probably 40 odd. Mm.
Like twice our age, and we're still like, cutest child ever. She never aged. Ever.
No.
Can't
fucking
accept
adorable.
It. But other than that, I don't think I've watched any proper. Like, I've tried to watch horror movies and stuff, but they're so bad. They're so
funny. They always were and always have been.
New. Michael Myers, and honestly, like, kind of boring.
Yeah, I was never really into them anyway.
See, I love them just from like nostalgia, because I don't. You're like, I know I should not be watching this. You're like 10, and it's like your first like scream flick, if that makes sense.
Mm. Yeah, like it's not that it was just it's that whole thing of like just fucking kill the corpse properly.
Die. Yeah.
It fucking annoys me. Like, there's so many chances to actually bait him into smithereens.
But
they were
honestly,
like...
right? Genuinely, like, the man had been burned in a fire. Like, the amount of times this man should have died. No word of a lie. And the whore keeps on coming back to fucking life. I don't know what it is.
Honestly.
Yeah, but then actually you need to fucking make absolute sure and fucking certain that you've killed him properly.
Double tap. It is the first rule.
This shot is kind of like, oh, he's gone, he's dead, and having this dramatic fucking exit. I would make match of him. And I'll make
but to be
sure.
Fair, if you had locked somebody in a cellar with no way out,
no,
burning to the fucking ground,
if you
and then whoever still manages to get out,
oh,
I'm sorry.
That person, exactly. That's exactly my point. You saw him coming out of a fucking burning cellar and he still survived that. And you're telling me you're only going to stab him one time and walk off?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, you should learn your lessons. Like, many people have tried to
kill
him.
That bastard, like one of the fucking vampires
like,
out of Twilight. I'm turning
the next film,
him into bits and I'm lighting them on fire.
Chop them up
the
in small pieces, put them in a blender.
The last one. So I feel like he's going to die. Or no, not even he will die. I think they're both going
to
die.
No, it's
going to
be a thing of she has to kill herself to kill him. Like, she's fucking keeping him alive through some spiritual shit, like, or something. Like,
that he's hey, I wrote
him.
A story
no,
like that
like
when
they,
I was in school.
I don't feel like they can go spiritual with Halloween, because it's like, he's just always been a murderer.
He's not a real life human. I'm sorry.
No. He transcended into something more than human. That's why he can't die.
I'm sorry now if anyone's watching...
Yeah, well, I haven't
spoilers.
Seen it, so don't tell me. Don't tell me, I will be...
Okay.
No spoilers. We're not a spoiler
podcast. No spoilers.
But
anyways,
not what we do.
I think he's not... I don't think he's human. I can't imagine him being human. Like, he's a
have
human,
but
have you
ever seen
he's...
the earlier ones, like...
No, he is.
I have.
Like,
but,
I,
he
but
is,
I get
but
what you mean.
There's more to him. Like, there's no way... He's surviving all that for how?
I think it's just the horror trope of like evil keeps him alive.
Literally, yeah.
He's kept alive by his own spite. Really, we should relate to that. How many of those movies are there? Like, how many times can you almost be murdered by the same fucking cunt?
Well, I think Halloween's been going since like 1978.
There you go.
How many movies are there?
Since the 70s, this bitch has been chased by this man.
I think there's easily like 12.
Yeah, there's too many. This is just
was,
let him kill you.
It's not 12.
Just
but
die.
Someone was saying to me that there's only like 3, and I was like, there is in no way.
No, there is not. Sure, you have H20 resurrection. I'm not even actually getting into it because there's no need. There's no need for me to fucking name out all these films. H20 is like my favourite, only because of sexy Josh Hartnett.
Sweet fucking eternal Jesus. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13. There's another one coming in next year.
Yeah, that's the last one.
Oh, Christ above. 13, of course there's 13. Oh, fuck off with your 13 of them, you symbolic bastards.
Oh my god, I didn't even think of that.
Speaking of things that have gone on too long, we have been in a bit of a hiatus, and I feel like we should probably address that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We don't really have any good excuses.
We do.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That is literally the best excuse. Lizzie left the country and was uncontactable for a wee bit. Like,
I have no excuse.
Yeah.
Well, no. Our excuse is that we did not want to carry on the podcast without our dear Lizzie. And we thought that this shit would be sorted a lot quicker. We didn't actually have any concept of time because me and Cleva don't.
No. I thought it was like two weeks.
It was actually about 6 weeks now, I think.
Yeah, I know, but it still feels like 2 weeks.
It does.
It still feels like 2 weeks to me. I have
See, that's not what the vibe I'm getting at all.
No, Lizzie is like, yeah, it's been 6 weeks. I am like, it's been two since we realised it was four.
Exactly.
Which...
like it's still just two. Like when we realized it's been 4 weeks, I was like, what about 2 weeks? And still now I'm like, oh god, it's only been like 2 weeks. But then it also feels like it's only been like a month since I did the one with Evelyn. So
no, but to be fair, we did try to do it last week. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, did it we? Was. Yeah. We did. We had it scheduled for last week, and then you couldn't get a laptop. How do you not remember this?
As I say it, I don't remember anything.
The curious life of Cleva, I swear to God, I don't
remember. I've decided I'm going to drink more water because I think my brain is shriveled.
So I support this decision because I feel the same about my own.
Cracking idea, because I keep on getting fucking dehydration headaches. I knew you would.
I knew you
would. Yeah, Lizzie. Sunstroke.
You're not
going to
get it through the air anymore, Lizzie. You're not at home.
I know.
You're symbiosis.
And I keep on forgetting this.
Osmosis.
You're in the desert now, bitch.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah, like BT Dubs. I'm in Dubai.
Our man Keith was right.
Yeah, we went to a sidekick. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast.
I don't think so.
We went back in June. And Lizzie was told, he was like, have you any plans on traveling? Like, he was like, I feel like you're going to go away soon. And she was like, no, I have literally no plans.
And he was like, no, you're going to be a teacher. And I was like, sure, all right, Keith. Like, do you know, what's the story?
Because
like,
literally none of us would have predicted that you would become a teacher. And yet here you are as a teacher in Dubai.
Well,
that
that's
is
so
spooky.
Quick. But he was like, soon. And she was
like,
I literally.
Yeah, he said, you need to save up more money. And I was like, right, okay. So obviously I did. And then boom, boom, boom. Let me see your way home. Yep. I'm fucking here.
I tell you now, if you're ever in, where is he? Where is he based?
Stephen Street Arcade.
Keith, whatever his second name is. Keith.
Oh no, that's... Is this... Yeah, Keith Kavanagh, yeah.
Keith Kavanagh. Oh, and go to the K-pop shop while you're there. Keith, 10 out of 10. Queue up half an hour. In and out. He does...
Honestly,
he's
only...
He called you a stupid bitch to your face, but it'll also tell you that you're lovely. And it's great. Yeah.
And he is the sassiest man. Like, he sits there smoking his vape as he's reading your cards. Like, blowing the smoke into your face. But it always, it's a nice smelling vape, so you don't mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. That seems fair.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Love that. Shout out to Keith.
He calls all out so bad. Like, I
honestly,
mean,
and he told me to stay away from an Aries. And I was like, okay, right. But he, like, literally told me, like, 7 times. But I know the exact fucking Aries that he's talking about as well. So I'm like, do you know what, Keith? Like, he just knows things about you. And he, like, obviously you don't make appointments. You just show up. So there's no reason or there's no way he could know anything about you. Like, you literally show up.
It's not like a Facebook thing. Cool.
No, you literally just show up to this place.
No, like, identification.
Next time I'm in Ireland, we'll absolutely 10 out of 10 be stopping by Keith. Because I could use some fucking life guidance at the moment.
Honestly, even if it is for a bit of guidance or something, like, he's so good. Like, I really
like He's impartial, but he's sound. And but he's also, like...
Yeah, he won't be afraid to tell you, like, anything.
That's what you need. So I don't need someone pandering and be like, oh, your granny, yeah, she died, yeah, she's looking down on you, yeah. Like, fuck off. Talking about fucking these two. Can't say I've missed them for the last 6 weeks.
I actually don't want to. Can we just do a different fucking topic? I actually don't even fucking want
When you said that, I thought you were talking about me and Queeve. I was like, heh. But then I was like, no, you're talking about child murders and rapists. I kind of forgot. Would you believe?
Literally Lizzie putting herself up there with fucking murderers and shit. I'm like, don't want to talk to these people. No, I mean the child rapists and murderers.
They're fair annoying, the fucking two of them. Like, they're pigs. Like, actually.
Do we do a quick recap? Because it has been so long.
I think
long.
Definitely.
Okay, right, we're going to kick it off. Right. We had a wannabe Nazi. Absolute stave. He was a little bastard in school. Was definitely being the show of the night for her kids. And he was just a little cunt. We had a wannabe, like, Nazi.
Again.
She was also dirt poor, as was other prick. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones at her. Pamela used to give her grief, so she tried to rebel and get with this fella that she thought was super fly, but he was nothing of the sort. And then anyway, the two of them used to do like really like cringe shit, as in like read a Mein Kampf together underneath the candlelight, pure embarrassing. And then they just decided one day to start raping and murdering little kids. So yeah, there's
That's pretty much it.
And they're burying them up in the moors.
And taking pictures with their grave and thinking that's great. And that's what turns them on. And
with their little dog Puppet, which is such a cute name that I can never use now.
Yeah.
No.
But ruined forever.
Thank you.
Much so like Flip. But yeah, so where we left off was on my episode with the kidnap of Leslie Ann. We hadn't quite gotten to the murder yet because we were going to go through the transcript that none of us want to go through. Now, quite honestly, I wanted to get the recording. The recording has been removed from all traces of the internet. And was I fuck taken to the dark web to go get that shit? Absolutely not. So there's going to be no recording, mercifully. As usual, we have a trigger warning because this is awful. But more in particular because I found, anyway, personally, reading the transcript, and I'm sure for Lizzie who actually heard it, it stays with you. You can visualise everything. You can visualise all of it. Because you're hearing the exact words being said.
It's really, really bad.
Yeah, it's really long as well, so... Oh my god. Okay.
You can just give a quick synopsis.
No, I'll just do it. I'll just do it, because people are going to want to hear... Well, I hope they don't want to hear, but some people are going to want to hear. That's fine, I'll just do it.
So yeah, without any further ado, all fun has now died. Let's dive in.
First thing you hear is Ian saying, get out of the fucking road, get in the fucking basket. You hear a door sound of a door banging, and there was some heavy footsteps on a floor... and someone blowing into a microphone. You could hear a very quiet woman's voice, but you couldn't understand her because of how quiet it was, and you could hear some footsteps just walking around. You then hear Leslie say, don't, Mum, followed by her screaming, and Ian tells her to shut up. Leslie says, oh please, oh help, and Myra is trying to shush her. She's saying she should be quiet. The girl keeps screaming. Ian says... tells her to shut up again. Myra tells her to shut up. You could hear a gurgling sound, and then Leslie starts to cry. Myra says, keep quiet and you'll be all right, go on. The child continues to cry lightly, almost like a moaning sound. And Myra says, you're all right, hush hush, put it in your mouth, hush, and shift your hand. You can still hear the crying, and Myra says, put it in your mouth and keep it in and you'll be all right, put it in, stop it, if you don't, be quiet. Ian says, put it in at the same time, and Myra screams at her to put it in. I don't want to keep saying put it in, but that's what they keep saying.
It carries on for a bit, and then we'll just move forward.
Ian and Myra are talking quietly together. You can't really hear what they're saying. You can hear the child whimpering, and there's a retching sound, almost like she's going to throw up. Leslie says, can I tell you something? I must tell you something. Please take your hands off me a minute, please, Mummy, please, I need to tell you. She says, I can't tell you, I can't breathe, I can't. Dad, will you take your hands off me? Ian says, why don't you keep it in? And she said, why? What are you going to do with me? And he said, I want some photographs, that's all, just put it in. And she asks him not to undress her. Leslie tells him that it's hurting her and she wants to see her mum. He says she swears in the Bible that she has to go home because she's going to meet her mum and she needs to get home before 8 o'clock or she'll be in trouble. So Ian says, he asks her to put it back in, that she's going to take some photographs, and that if she doesn't, he's going to slit her neck. She says she has to get home for 8 o'clock or she'll be killed if she doesn't. Ian and Myra start talking to each other, saying that they've left the light on and the bath is... that Myra, in the meantime, apparently was filling the bath, is what she said, but anyways. Yep. So Leslie, anyways, is crying, saying that it hurts, and she's asking, could she go home? She says she has to get home for 8 o'clock, and then music starts playing. Some country style music, which is so fucking, I don't know. And then Dolly St. Nicholas comes on, and then the song Little Drummer Boy.
Yeah.
In the background, you could hear muffled voices of people speaking, but their voices were too quiet to hear what they were saying. And suddenly there were three loud cracks, even timed and systematic, and the music grew fainter. The last thing you could hear before the tape finished was some footsteps across the floor.
That's the transcript.
There's like way more, but it's like, as Savannah said, like it just goes on and on, and like I didn't want to say all of it because it's really fucking gross.
Yeah.
But that's the gist of it is.
So you can kind of get the idea of how fucking sick these two actually were and what they would put these kids through. And I can only assume, like I thought this when I read the transcript myself, the mum and dad thing, they
She
have to have
was.
asked her to do that.
No, I'd say she was saying, like, she was calling out for them, as in, ma'am, like, I want to go home.
Like, yeah.
Like, as in, and
And
she
she
was
was like
calling out
calling
for
for
her
her
dad, not
parents.
calling Ian. I don't think, like, I could be wrong, but, like, I feel like it'll take a long time to,
Could
like,
be.
train a kid to say dad in
Yeah.
that kind of a situation
Yeah,
for it to kind of come
that's true.
naturally. I could be wrong now, but maybe they did, but I feel like she was, I thought the same, but I just kind of got the feeling that she was probably calling out for her parents.
Because she was only, what, like nine
Probably
or
more
ten?
likely, to be honest.
Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, she was really young, so
She
she
only
I'd
called
say
out
she
for
was
her
definitely
dad
like
once as well
screaming out for
because
them.
I don't think she really knew her dad. She only had her stepfather.
So yeah, we did talk about the bath as well on my episode 6 weeks ago. Just so people remember as well, just to go back over that, we had Moira's version of events where she wasn't involved, which was disproven by the transcript, by the tape that they recorded. But she said she wasn't there at all. She filled the bath like three times because it went cold because Ian was taking too long, and then she found Leslie already dead. Ian's version of events is what follows the transcript, wherein they were both involved. She took Leslie herself, and they did in fact run the bath to wash Leslie's body after the fact to get rid of any evidence. So that's the sus with the bath, just so people remember
Yeah.
where we kind of left off.
So yeah, they put Leslie's body into the boot and they drove out to the moors where they were going to bury her near to Pauline Reed's body. Ian left Myra at the car and he disappeared out over the hills into the moor to get the spade. A policeman drove past and stopped, and Myra, of course, nearly wet herself. She was like, caught out basically, because obviously Leslie's body was still in the boot of the car. But she told him that she was letting her spark plugs dry out.
Yeah,
Whatever the fuck.
that they've gotten wet.
What does that even.
It has to have been a thing at the time because he believed her.
He believed her
Like,
and
are
drove
we sure
off.
he just wasn't a dumb bastard? Like, do you know what I
But,
mean?
like,
I
what?
mean,
I was like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Maybe it
I
is a
don't even know
thing.
what it was, so maybe it is,
I
and
know
I'm just
spark plugs are, like,
confused.
in a
Poor
car,
policeman.
but that is the extent of my
That's the
knowledge.
extent of it. I am aware of their existence. I don't know how they fare
Don't
wet or
know their
dry.
function.
Let's look, we're not mechanics. We can't fucking go through with the ins and outs of exactly how that works, but look, thing.
Anyways,
Yeah.
doesn't matter. So,
Us focusing on
yeah,
the
to be honest, I started to like disassociate for that last like 2 minutes of this conversation.
Listen, I feel like we needed it.
Yeah.
Oh, 100% it was needed, but my brain just could not handle it. It's like,
That's
I
fair.
know I will never have. I
A
just won't
car?
retain that.
I just have no interest. I don't care. Like, what? Okay,
Exactly. It was
the
like,
car doesn't start. Okay, I'll bring it to a man that'll make it start. Or a
yeah,
woman, I'm sure, you
he's gonna
know.
make it better. He's gonna fix it. Grand.
I was gonna say, terribly 60s attitude there, Caoimhe, but
Do you know what I mean?
moving
Like
forward and the feminist plight.
90%, you know what I mean. In this anyways, there's very rarely going to be a woman mechanic.
I've never in my life seen a woman mechanic.
Neither have I. Oh.
Not that I'd be in a
Yeah.
position to either, but still.
Yeah,
No.
and due to my lack of car, I don't know shit about cars, so.
Yeah, and my lack of
I would find the
license.
mechanic very scary to
Lack
go
of
to because they
license.
a lot of them overcharge you for
Lads.
any fucking ways. Can I please tell my
Yeah,
story?
please.
You're setting me off and I'm not able for it. I
Sorry.
can't stop myself. You need to be able to stop me. Okay.
Okay, back on track.
Right. So, Myra, her. I'm going to end up calling her Myra at some stage. I apologize, but it's a bad name. Myra,
Yeah.
her grandmother obviously lives with them, with her and Ian. And her grandmother that day had gone over to Myra's uncle's house, so the grandmother's son's house. And she was meant to be giving her a lift home. But she didn't arrive over until like 11 o'clock that night. And when she got there, she was like, oh, sorry, the roads are really bad. That's why I'm late. But then she was like, I'm going to head home. Granny, you can stay here because the roads are really bad and I feel like I'm scared to give you a lift home. And they were like, sorry, let me in the fucking car. I'm not staying here. I need to go home. And she was like, no. I'm too scared to drive you around the place. The roads are really bad. You can stay here. And they had a big fight and she fucked off home by herself. So she went back and went, to help Ian get rid of all the evidence and all that, etc. And her grandmother ended up sleeping on the floor at your man's house until Myra collected her the following morning at half 10. And can I tell you now, Why her uncle didn't give her fucking grandmother the bed, I don't know.
Obviously, or like, no. Selfish prick.
That's like,
you have a geriatric sleeping on the carpet. Elderly, like, that's woman, not like, doing well.
That's like you know what I mean? That's like me inviting over my nana and being like, all right, the rug is
you
there
can
now.
Actually sleep like a cat on my carpet beside my bed while I'm sleeping in it.
I'd at least be able to provide a couple of dog beds or something, like.
Had they near a couch, like?
Yeah,
nothing.
Honestly.
Like, why is she on the floor anyway? I assume when she went to go back then to pretend to pick up the granny, even though she wasn't picking up the granny, that Leslie's still in the boot.
Yeah, and that was why she didn't want her getting in the car.
Yeah.
The book, I don't know, was very confusing for these couple of pages. I found it very kind of hard to, like, it was very jumpy or
follow.
Something. But,
right, okay.
Yeah, my understanding was that was why she had to go to tell her that she wasn't going to collect her.
Oh,
she won't
I know
be...
why. Sorry, not why, that, not that. I know why it's confused. Is this because this is Moira's bullshit fucking version of events that you're on at the
oh,
moment.
Oh, fucking,
yeah,
there we go.
That's why it doesn't make sense.
Because I was like, this, none of this makes fucking any bit of sense.
No.
Your man was
yeah,
right.
It's Moira's okay, fault.
That's
that
fine.
Line, bitch.
The book was kind of written as if this was like the actual, like it was the actual story. So that's why I got confused.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, that's fine. Yeah, so she said, no, basically, Leslie's in the boot. I can't be giving you a lift home and I have to go home and help get rid of, you know, the evidence, whatever. So but obviously they didn't have phones and stuff, so she had to go to the house to tell him that she wouldn't be bringing her home. I don't fucking know. Anyways,
why did it right, they can afford a car but the bastards can't afford a phone.
It was
sort
back then
you,
it was very rare. This is the 1960s, like, my I know it's England, but do you know,
yeah, but still middle of Manchester, like,
yeah, the car could have been stolen in fairness. Not
fun
like
fact, my granddad owned the first phone booth in the back of Arthur Clare in his little village.
Aww.
Back in the 19 fucking 70s or whatever it was. He had the first
really
phone. Everyone of the locals would be like, come use your phone, and they were like, yeah. Anyways, they had like a proper phone booth. That's so cute.
That's so cute.
Yeah, so Myra collected her grandmother at 10:30 the following morning. Massively shitty, but anyways, meanwhile, the following or the previous day, Tommy had arrived home without Leslie, and of course her mother and stepfather were like, where the fuck is Leslie? And they went out searching for her. They obviously couldn't find her, arrived home without her, and reported it to the police, reported her missing at, you know, about 10 o'clock that evening. Obviously their first suspect was her stepfather, and he was interrogated for hours upon hours. Which, I mean, yeah, but also
well,
that makes
see, yeah.
no sense. He was at home or wherever he was with
the mother.
Like, when was he going to have the time to go out and take her? It didn't make sense. But anyways, I know that's always the first person they pick is the man of the house. And if you're the stepfather,
yeah.
like not a blood relative, yeah. you know.
That's
it's
it.
More
yeah,
likely,
it's like,
yeah.
oh, get rid of this child now because they're interfering with my life.
Yeah.
It's like there was how many other children in that house? Like 7?
Yeah.
There was a gaggle of kids, so getting rid of one doesn't really serve him any purpose.
Well, see, it was a girl as well. You know, they're going to probably look at it that way, you know, but...
Oh, yeah, true. Well, no, I didn't want to look at it from that angle, and now I have fucking...
I mean, given what we're talking about as well, I'm surprised that's not what your brain just automatically, like,
because he
to.
Is an innocent person, not a piece of fucking shit, so I didn't just assume that all the neighbours were like, ah, yeah, he probably diddled her, went through fire and fucked her in the river. Like, wasn't my first thought.
Yeah,
no. Because we already know somebody else did that, except for the river part. Moving forward.
Anyway, so on the 24th of April 1965, David Smith and Maureen Hindley lost their 6-month-old daughter to bronchitis, and they, you know, obviously were grieving and stuff, started spending more time with Ian and Myra as a result. Obviously probably trying to distract themselves and, you know, get out of the house and do things because they were upset or whatever. So Ian and Myra began
grieving.
Bringing them out onto saddle.
Sorry. They were like, what, upset or whatever about their dead kid.
I'm fucking.
I mean, that was such bad form.
Whatever, you do this all the time, whatever episode it was, and you were like, yeah, and then they murdered her, blah, blah, blah.
They're a bit sad about their dead kid.
I find it
what's wrong with them, like?
I feel like sincere emotions and these kinds of things are very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I enjoy, like, not enjoy, but I can deal with, like, Myra and the Ian side of things because I'm like, you're two fucking tits, but then it's like, I don't know. Anyways, you know what I mean.
We don't have room for another dead child in our emotions.
No. So
oh,
Ian
God.
And Myra, being the massively fucked up morons that they are, began bringing them out onto the Saddleworth Moors. with Ian, bring in David. The poor fella had the notion. He'd better bring him around on tours of like where the bodies were buried. And like at times David would be like standing on top of like one of the literal graves and wouldn't have a notion. He just was there.
That's so fucking sick though. Like the pure enjoyment Ian would have got out of that because he knew David hadn't got a clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two boys would head out and do their little fucking ghost hunting tours. That was so disrespectful. Please crop that out.
That's no. Staying right in. Weep of fear.
Oh my god. Please take that out.
Sorry, were they taking a Ouija board out into the moors to try to communicate?
That
with
was
them?
So bad. Oh Christ. Okay, we need to move on because I'm gonna have a attack.
Oh, I'm not editing that out. Sorry.
No, that's staying in. You should feel the shame of that sentence.
Yep.
That
I up. Didn't even I didn't realise what I was saying.
That slipped out like a fucking tick. That slipped out like a tick.
My God. Okay. Yeah, so the two lads would go out on their tours and the two girls would stay like back at the car and like just have the chats. I don't know. They were very gender separated, this group. It was very strange. Which I mean, like, I suppose was a thing back then as well, but it was like the main.
Yeah, like
That was even a thing, like, when I was fucking growing up. Like, it would always be the women were in the kitchen and the men were in the sitting room.
See, that was never like that in my family. We always...
Oh, it kind of was in ours a bit, like...
Like, no, all of them would... We'd all mix, all of us.
Wouldn't be now, since there's only, like, four of us left. But, like,
I'm also thinking of, like, aunts and uncles, you know, if there's ever a gathering. It would never be, like, aunts and uncles going off, ever. It would always be everyone mixes.
No, I think it's if you have like older aunties. Like I just would have known from to say like my ma's side where like my great aunties are all like not that old.
The traditional.
Yeah, like they're old but not that old, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For like a great auntie, they're not old.
Yeah.
But they're old. Like in a traditional way, if that makes sense.
After they'd, you know, go out to the moors, they'd go back to Ian's house, Ian and Myra's house. Where the girls would go upstairs and get into bed and the men would stay downstairs and drink on until the following morning, until literally like the next day. And I was like, would you not just want to go home? Like, do you know, would you be arsed? If I was Maureen, I'd be like, I'm going home, I'm not sleeping in the bed there
again. It's the 60s, you didn't go anywhere without your husband.
But not even that, sure, it's her sister's house as well. She'd be like, okay,
and it's,
we're
yeah
gonna,
she practically
we're going, we're going to have like a girly catch up. I'm sad as shit, my kid is dead, I'm staying over here.
Oh yeah, true. I didn't think of that. I, to be honest, I just would have been downstairs having a drink as well. Like, just the idea of like staying up drinking all night, like not going to bed, would annoy me. But whatever. Ian began David.
Ian began David. Did he start him like a bite?
Lads, you have me melted. Oh.
Literally, we have done nothing.
Oh, you've done so many things. I'm blaming you for this. Ian began asking David strange questions, is what I was trying to say, when they got drunk. So he started asking him, would he be like up for joining in on these plans that him and Myra had for committing all these armed robberies? Like, they had like plans, and asked him, had he killed anyone? He told Dave that he committed murders and had pictures to back him up, so they had proof of it that he wasn't talking shit. And he said he'd kill again in front of David just to prove that he could. Do you know?
I feel like that's a situation where you'd be like, do you know what, man? You're actually all right. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's proof. So fucking... Are you 7 years of age?
Oh, yeah.
Look at me. Hey, look at me. Like, I don't actually give a fuck. I don't actually
it's
care.
It's like Ian is trying to compare dick sizes with himself. Literally, yeah.
Like, who? I do.
Like, look how much of a man I am. I kill small children.
And the tiny head.
Go fuck yourself, Ian.
Go the fuck away from me, stupid fool.
Fucking scrawny wisp. We already established each of us could snap you over our knees, so.
Oh, we beat him senseless.
So, on the 5th of October, David arrived over with a box of books that Ian had lent him. He had left all these, like, they were weird, like, killer books. I don't know. And he had all these like notes on them, and he had told David to like mark down all his like favorite passages and like weird fucking.
It's not a fucking Bible, my love. Like, what is?
Are
he
we
on about?
In English? Am I doing To Kill a Fucking Mockingbird? Is that what's going on? Leave me alone. I'm not going home and doing homework. I'm not actually writing annotations into this novel. I'm not doing
honestly.
It.
Highlight your favourite part. Write a summary about
your
it.
Fucking
no, thank you.
Color coded things. Oh, pink means this was a fun time.
What was the symbolism of Ed Gein's golden vaginas?
He was meant to.
You know what I mean?
It's the answer.
There was no symbolism.
It's called mental illness, love. That's yeah, what it's called. Honestly.
Oh, the lampshade is made of nipples. It symbolised his fucking mental illness. It's like, fuck off.
It's like literally because he cut them off a dead bitch. Like,
yeah.
Couldn't have said it any clearer.
Oh.
Sometimes things just mean what they mean, man.
Sometimes the curtains are just blue.
Oh, my, don't even get me started on that,
no,
please.
No, we're not going down this rabbit hole. We're going back to Ian being a fucking weirdo.
Ian came down the stairs with two suitcases, right? Fucking dead. Imagine the state of him.
Oh, he would not be able to lift that. Like, he's struggling and he's wheezing. He's like...
Sorry, what you mean is two suitcases took Ian down the stairs.
Ian definitely, like, they definitely, like, got caught in the banisters and everything. Fucking taste.
Yeah.
That's why I just had visions. Yeah, of him sliding on his front with the two fucking suitcases.
And Myra is, like, kind of micromanaging and he shouts at her to shut the fuck up. But he's, like, he's fine.
He has it handled.
Got this.
Meanwhile, he's fucking pissing sweat. The suitcases are literally dragging him down and he's, like...
He's chipped the paintwork on the wall, like...
Yeah. The suitcases are no more good. The wheel has come off.
It's because he's fucked the wheel. He's actually broken one of the spokes on the banister.
And it's one of those arms, you know, when you lift up the pulley thing and then it won't go back in.
Yeah.
And you get so vexed.
They have to try and get it backed out.
Oh, fucking
Ian. We make our own fun. We make our own fun. Okay, right. So Ian fell down the stairs with two suitcases and then what?
Got dogged off by two suitcases.
Yeah, so inside these suitcases, we're still laughing, it's actually like really fucked up anyways. He had all these like really fucked up books, like these like sexually perverse was the words used. So he had kinky books inside in these suitcases. He had the recordings and photos of Leslie Ann, gun cartridges and some letters. Okay, sorry, I know, massive downer, but there we go. He said that him and Myra were going to store them in the Manchester train station because you know how they have like the big lockers for people to leave their luggage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Ian was still, you know, doubting David's ability to kill people because he just was like, you know,
he's a pure, simple
nobody's
fool, like,
as hard a man as me. Like, it's definitely not him. Definitely not David Smith. Like, so he toyed with the idea of
David.
Bringing David on a fucking drive, giving him a gun, pulling up somewhere random, being like, shoot that person there. And then if David said, no, I don't want to actually, thanks, he was going to kill David.
Is this a gang initiation? Are we in the Bronx? What the fuck is happening? Like, that is literally like, prove your loyalty to me. But like, why? Because I never asked to join your fucking gang, Ian.
You have this ridiculous idea in your head of something that you want me to be.
Yeah. Like, I literally was fine without being a murderer before that. Yeah. So I'm G.
I think Ian like really wanted like a boys club.
It sounds like it.
100%.
Like, he said that he was going to kill David, like, if he would, like, refuse to carry out this murder. But, like, I don't think he would have.
No, he wouldn't have. I'm not being funny. David probably would have hammered shit out of him as well.
Yeah. And also, he realised then, he was like, that's actually, like, my brother-in-law, basically. If I kill him, it's so obvious.
Yeah, well done.
You fucking moron.
Congratulations on that association. Must have taken you hours to figure out. Fucking fool.
So that same day with the books, David told them that they were going to be evicted, that they owed money, that there was like a back payment, and that if they didn't pay it, they were going to be evicted. And he wanted to borrow the money. But Myra said that they were broke and they had nothing to give him. David suggested, and I apologise for the language, this is the quote that was used, he suggested rolling a queer.
David!
I fucking disappointed in you. I was like, I thought it was like a really old name for like, you know, like smoking a fag, like wrote like a cigarette, you know, that's what it's called. Oh my god, ew, is that where that came from? Oh my god, I'm actually really fucked up because that meant that that term meant that they would go out, find a gay man, offer him sex, bring him home, and then rob him.
Yeah.
And this was obviously going to be fucked up, but it would be safe for Ian and David because with homosexuality was illegal at the time. Mm-hmm. The man was unlikely to report them.
So no gay man was going to out himself.
So they, like, what were they going to say? I mean, if he was smart, he would have been like, lads, these two boys brought me back. And so we were going chilling out, and then they pulled some extra homo moves on me. And I'd fucking Uno reverse that shit.
Honestly.
Honestly, turn that shit around so quickly.
But these are two men with wives.
Yeah, I'm like,
and like I'd say they upstanding honestly, citizens.
No, no,
in the
no.
60s.
I'm like, they started shifting in front of me. Honestly.
You go straight to the guards, and then when they when you like freaked out, they beat you up because they were afraid you'd go and out them.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Be like, listen, lads, they were touching like a Chinese finger trap. It was just a sight to behold.
Honestly.
Is that where like smoking a fag came from? Like rolling a fag?
I could not tell you.
I don't know why we call cigarettes fags. I don't know. But I really hope not.
I really hope not.
It's from rolling a queer.
Don't say it like that.
It's what they say. I didn't choose the terminology.
I know. It's just the way you said it all. So, anyways, Ian and David went. I feel like it was just Ian, but Ian and David, this is what they were going to do, right? So, this was the first time that Ian and Myra never, like, didn't follow their, like, normal plan. They had, you know, their usual plan of action. And Ian never used his fucking tarot cards to predict how it would turn out.
Wait. Roll it back there about 10 steps. Are you telling me this embarrassing fucking fool?
I'm telling you, this embarrassing fool, 4 out of 5 murderers used tarot cards before he committed the murders to
predict. Did he not explicitly say that he didn't believe in that?
That's what the book said.
When he was like,
that's what the
going
book said.
To fucking
the book
kill
said
the psychic.
He used tarot cards before that this murder was the only murder that he didn't use them for. Now, unless the book's telling lies, that's what it said.
Not even that. I'm just like, I love a good crystal and I love a good tarot card, as we have just been hyping up our man Keith at the start of this podcast. But the fact that like a hard Nazi wannabe man is a crystal bitch, fuck off, you actually. I cannot
He's
stand
a Tumblr
you.
Witch.
I
That's
couldn't stand
is.
You before.
Oh,
he's one of them fools who's
here.
Like,
don't be coming for the Tumblr witches. They're trying to come for the moon.
Yeah, they can fuck off. They try to fucking, they came at the fae and everything. You are trying to get yourself fucking killed.
Honestly. Yeah. Even if you don't believe in that shit, you don't fuck with the fae.
If the Tumblr witches came for me, I would go to the back out and I'd be like, lads, the witches that were after ye are after me now. Will you sort them out? And I feel like they'd be like, yeah, no bother.
Definitely. I mean, that'd be the one time that you want to fucking Morrigan, summon that bitch.
Yeah.
Get her to sort them out.
I get onto her so quick. Watch them run fucking mine.
We're just here spitting out Irish fucking witches and phantoms and shit, like as if people know about
them. We know them by name. Like, what do the Americans have? Skinwalkers, and they're not even theirs.
And anyway, you can't have folklore when you don't have a culture, so.
They just fuck
out. Moving on.
Moving on. So, Edward Evans was a 17-year-old apprentice engineer who lived at home in the Ardwick area of Manchester with his mother Edith, his father John, and he had a brother and sister living at home as well with him. On the 6th of October 1965, at about 6:30, Edward went out to meet his friend Michael because they're going to go watch a game at Old Trafford. Edward went to meet Michael at a local pub. It was called Auntie's Bar, and he arrived at about 7 o'clock according to the owner. But Michael never showed up, and Edward ended up going to the game by himself. Bit shitty of Michael, but anyways, I suppose something probably came up. But still, bad form. So,
context.
Yeah, I suppose that was the way. Like, oh, he never showed. Something must have happened.
I'll be on my way then. You've no way of finding out, like, until you meet him again on the streets, so.
Yeah. Oh God, I'd hate that. Anyways, about 10:30 that evening, so the match was over and everything, Ian and Meyer went out to get some wine, and they parked up at Manchester train station. Ian ran in and Myra was left to wait in the car. He saw Edward. Edward was standing by a cigarette machine inside in the train station, and he recognised him because he'd seen him a few times in a local gay bar. And he went over to Edward and introduced himself, and he invited him home for a drink. So Edward said, yeah, sure. Because being invited home for a drink was basically, he was propositioning him. It was kind of like,
yeah,
you know,
it's you want to come in for a coffee. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, yeah, when we do bits, basically, is what that meant. He brought him out to the car and introduced Myra as his sister. So they got back home, And Myra was told to go and get David. So she ran upstairs and got changed and came back down. Ian told her to go get David and just take her time while she was coming back. Okay, so she was told not to, like, rush home with him, basically. So up until now, the stories of Ian, Myra and David all matched. Right?
Ah, okay. Now we're getting into the different versions of events.
Now we're getting into the shit talk, right? Now, we can decide afterwards who we believe, but yeah. So we'll do Myra's first. She said that she arrived over to David and Maureen's house and he was ready to go as if he was expecting her, that he was waiting to be called for, but that she had no idea before this that this was going to happen. So she was like, oh, he's ready to go. How did he know to be ready when I didn't even know, if that makes sense? So Maureen obviously was surprised to see her at the house so late because it was probably like 11 o'clock at this stage. And Myra made up some excuse that their mam was hoping to borrow shoes off her that coming Friday. And I mean, what? Are you coming to have a look at the shoes in advance or something? I don't know.
Yeah.
This is Myra making...
And why does she have to take David away?
Yeah, that.
Like,
no.
She's honestly such a stupid whore. And I mean that...
They bother me. She's so pathetic at lying. Like, I know that's a stupid thing to be pissed off about, but like, if you're going to try and get away with murder, at least fucking try. What kind of bullshit is this?
She rocked up to the house under the pretending that she was there to get the shoes, and then what she did was she asked David to walk her home because the street lights were out.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got angry too fast.
He did, and I couldn't stop it.
I understand. I'm sorry. I was in full rant. Like, I'm sorry. She pisses me off so much.
No, it's because she's a bitch. You're not wrong. It's just, in this case, it kind of made sense. But also, why are you here at 11 o'clock in the evening to look at shoes that our mom wants to borrow?
I'll just show mom myself, like.
Exactly. It's still a weak excuse.
But then I'm not being funny as well. Is she not going to say, oh, ma, like, how did you get on wearing my shoes?
That's exactly what I thought.
Is she not going to ask her mother?
Yeah.
Make it make sense.
So she asked about David walking home since the streetlights were out, which apparently was true according. They checked it on the fucking switchboard or some shit in the trial, and that was a fact. Even though, I mean, whatever, I don't.
Okay.
Not really an important note.
Imagine the rapist being afraid of rapists. Catch, like, what the fuck?
In fairness, though, it's like a cheating man accusing you of cheating. It's just, you know, if you do the thing, you expect the thing to be done to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
if you did, you'd fucking deserve it, you rancid tramp.
I hate her so much.
David went away, put his shoes on, and he had this stick that he used to bring on walks with him with his dog. And it was like 3 feet long, 2 inches thick, and was wrapped up and had like, it was wrapped up with string on one end, right?
Okay.
Why? But... anyways, 2 inches thick is fucking big, like.
It's literally debate where other dogs have to come near his, like.
Yeah. And I'd imagine the wrapping on it is to, like, stop the hand from getting splinters or whatever if you do have to do a bit of whacking.
Oh, I don't know, it's a bit odd, like. 3 feet long, come on. But anyways, I suppose, whatever.
I'm sure you classic men overcompensating.
It's fine. It's like, look at my massive stick.
Look at my massive stick.
So, David walked at Myra and... until they got to the house where she had him stand across the road and she told him that he was to come in the front door when he saw the kitchen lights flash twice. Okay, so she ran around, went in the side door and went into Ian. Okay, she obviously was probably there for a few minutes before Ian gave the signal, we'll say. Signal, I don't know what fucking signal, but gave the signal that the murder was going to happen. So Myra went into the kitchen and flashed the lights. She said David let himself in the front door and Myra didn't leave the kitchen.
Groucho.
Fuck off, that word.
Sorry, I thought I'd remind you what the signal was.
Groucho, oh yeah. Oh, fucking, oh my god.
Disgusting.
Such sad cases.
Aren't they actually so, they're honestly so embarrassing.
Ian said, Groucho. And Myra went into the kitchen and flashed the lights. Right? David let himself in the front door and Myra didn't leave the kitchen until the murder was over. She waited there until all the noises stopped, she said. Her only contribution was organising the blanket that the body was to be wrapped in and making sure that her grandmother was asleep. that the coast was clear when the men were bringing the body upstairs to the spare room. So you had a lot of involvement, except you
how
didn't.
How heavy? Yeah.
What are you well,
sorry, my only involvement was planning everything.
My only involvement was actually helping them get away with it.
But yeah. What I'm not over is how a geriatric is sleeping through.
She didn't.
An entire murder.
No.
She didn't.
Like, how? Like, what is she lying for?
This is Myra talking fucking heap shit.
Yeah.
So she said that they spent 3 hours cleaning and making plans of what to do with the body. The three of them spent that time together. And then David went home at about 3 o'clock. Which puts the murder, that the murder took about an hour. But anyways, well, I suppose between, it means that Ian was in the house with Edward for about an hour before everything kind of happened. And, yeah. Mm.
So is that canon? Is that part actually true, or is that
That's
just
That's what
more?
They've all said. Is that David got home at about 3 o'clock, yeah.
So can we then assume that Ian was in fact gay and this was his closeted way of fucking dealing with it? Because I've been, sorry, this is what I've been thinking the whole time. His whole thing was go out, take your time coming back.
Yeah.
So did he not just want the time to actually have the freedom to shag this man before they killed
yeah.
him?
Honestly, Mario,
no,
that,
he literally,
that
that's what
thought.
He says that. He said.
Okay. Sorry, calling it before it happened. I just, as soon as you were like, take your time coming back, I was like, he's gay.
Yeah.
Ian's gay. Full stop.
So Ian's story, so that's Myra's peep shit. So we can just fucking, just forget all that.
Right,
that's
off.
Disregard it.
Write it off.
Shoot, fucking bitch. But anyways, Ian said that he, Myra and Edward went into the house together. Myra went upstairs to change and then went to get David while he and Edward sat and drank wine together. Okay.
Sexy.
He said that they quickly started kissing, they moved on to oral sex, and then they were having sex. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really gross detail, but I feel like, I don't know, part of the autopsy was that during the trial it was revealed that dog hairs from the house were found on his body, namely on his legs and his purse.
No.
And I was like, I'm sorry, the fucking dirt of that. Imagine having that much dog hair in your house that it sticks to people's legs. Like their bare legs, not just like their jeans.
That is true, actually. But it depends on how much hair they found, I suppose. Because if you're kind of like bare arsenal on a couch that's full of dog hair.
I mean, yeah, and then with the sweat, like.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And you're going to be sweating if you're banging, like. And I assume if there was oral involved, then he probably. Why I'm going into this amount of detail is beyond me. But as I was saying, I assume if there was oral involved at the start, then he probably sat on the couch.
And oh no no!
Was, you know,
no, I understood that. It was just I was just more so saying, it's grimy as fuck that there's that much hair that it's sticking to people's legs.
Oh yeah, oh
not
yeah.
That they
like,
were, like I'm not questioning the fact that he did that pants on because obviously it's more
brush your fucking couch like it's
like it's that bad that it's sticking to people's bare legs. You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
Dirt. You're dirt birds. But anyway,
like, okay, I know they didn't have chom choms back in the day, like I do now, blessedly, to clean my cat hair off the couch. But like something, a rubber glove,
a
rubber
fucking wire-haired brush, and you
that
little puppet. Literally. Puppet was only wasn't. I think he looked like he was wiry-haired. Anyways, I'm not getting into it because I'm gonna get fucking agitated.
Again, we're hung up on the dog hair, and not the murder.
So, they put their clothes back on just in time. Kept drinking the wine. And they basically were presentable just in time for Myra and David to come to the house. So Ian said he heard Myra and David returning and he got up to let them in. So he answered the door and asked David straight away. He was like, do you want those miniatures? They're in the kitchen. So there was these miniature like spirit bottles, you know, like but like mini, you know, like on planes and stuff, you get the mini Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I presume.
That's what I'm picturing.
I was thinking like little figurines.
I thought that too until they specified it like David specified later on that it was spirit bottles. And I said I would just save the confusion and just say it now because, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I literally was picturing like little porcelain
figurines. I was picturing little,
so.
Like little lads, you know, little men.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he said, you want those miniatures? They're in the kitchen. So Myra and David went into the kitchen and he went back in to sit on the couch with Edward. Ian said that he had hidden an axe under the couch and that he reached down and picked it up and hit Edward on the head with it. That he was aiming for the back of Edward's head with the intention of killing him instantly. At the last second, Edward moved and the axe only kind of hit him on the side, like the top of the head, which didn't obviously knock him out or anything. So Edward, of course, started screaming because you would. And
yeah,
Ian
fucking how.
Laid into him with the axe while Myra and David stood in the doorway watching. Dogs started barking and the noise woke Myra's grandmother, who came to the top of the stairs and asked what was going on. Myra shouted back something to her that Ian couldn't remember, but the grandmother went off to bed. He said that after a dozen hits to the head that Edward was still alive, and so Ian went to the kitchen and got some electrical wire and used this to strangle him, to basically kill him.
Christ.
Ian then took the axe and gave it to David to make sure that his prints were on the weapon. Tell me why he admitted this in his statement.
Man's a simple fucking Simon, that's the only reason.
You fucking simpleton. You're a fucking moron.
Yeah.
An absolute moron. Anyways, it annoyed me. Why are you admitting that? Why are you admitting that?
Literally didn't need it. Like, could have just said, like, then David took the axe.
David took the axe, or whatever.
That I needed to make sure that David was incriminated, so I forced him to put his fingerprints on it.
Stupid cunt. Oh my god, he's so
fucking. But you know what,
annoying.
Lads, though, to be fair, because he got caught so rotten with that fucking, like, the tape, like, that was listened on the, like, the transcripts, like,
oh yeah, but.
Well, I have quite literally fucked all of this, so might as well just tell
may
the truth.
As well tell
but
the
it
truth.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
I'll come to it later, but I don't understand why he wouldn't have wanted to sabotage David, if you get me. But anyways.
Right, okay, we'll wait for
yeah.
that then.
I mean, if I was Ian, I'd probably have been like, I'm taking this contact with me. Because, you know, Ian had at some point.
Oh, played, yeah, no, I know why.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's not, you know.
Yeah.
Ian had at some point over the whole commotion sprained his ankle and he decided, I don't know why, but he fucking sprained his ankle, right? I don't know. They were talking then, they were like, okay, what are we going to do with the body? Because the room was covered in blood and they needed to clean up everything. Because, of course, with the axe going, there was blood, like, over the roof, the walls, there was all over the floor, everything.
I was thinking, like, an axe is a very impractical fucking murder weapon when you're trying to get away with it in your own house.
The amount of back spray would be unnatural,
yeah,
like,
for a whole murder. Like, do something with the least amount of fucking blood. Like a suffocation
even
or a strangulation.
Tap out with the axe and just use the fucking electrical wire.
Like, even just use the butt of the axe to kind of knock him out, then there's at least minimum blood. Like, again, we're not trying to tell serial killers how to do their jobs. We're just judging you for not doing it right.
Yeah, I'm allowed to judge because I feel like I would do it better.
Yeah. Definitely.
So the room, as you can imagine, was covered in blood. And Ian said, this is the messiest murder I have ever committed. He took out Edward's wallet, went through it, which I thought was so fucking rude. But anyways, put the wallet, his shoes and the axe into a large travel bag. Okay. Anyways, they decided that they needed to move the body upstairs. So Ian unraveled the string on the bottom of David's stick and used it to tie Edward into fetal position. Myra laid out a white blanket and they laid Edward in the middle of this and wrapped him up. They then wrapped him in a plastic sheet and then wrapped him in another blanket. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the two men carried him upstairs while Myra went up ahead of them and held onto the door handle of her grandmother's bedroom for fear that she'd get up and come out again.
And come out.
Yeah.
While they were carrying Edward's body, Ian had to take off his holster and gun as they got in the way while he was, you know, it was kind of, they were in the way, basically, so he took them off and left them upstairs. They spent 3 hours cleaning the sitting room and Ian later said that he thought the police were incompetent in that they didn't find any blood in the carpet. And I mean, the man had a point. But anyways.
He's not wrong. He is not wrong.
Is he wrong? You'd
Did we have Luminol in the 60s? Did we not have Luminol in the 60s?
I feel
like we still had Luminol.
A load
in the
60s. Of all things is not coming out of a fucking carpet, especially like
no,
it's not.
And you know that was like a card fabric fucking couch. It wasn't a leather couch or anything like
that.
Oh
yeah,
that was a fucking card fabric.
Yeah,
where everything gets into every crevice.
Literally. So Ian backed up what Myra had said and said that David left at about 3 a.m. and that he and Myra. I feel like I'm like butchering her name, but anyways.
Does she not deserve it? Sorry now.
They drank until 3:30. So they drank for half an hour until they fell asleep. Ian decided that there was no brush in burying the body as there was nothing to connect them to him. He thought that maybe a fun way to get rid of the body would be that they'd burn him on their next bonfire just to spice things up.
I mean, sure.
I mean, like.
Would that not be the first thing you thought of?
I can't cope with this.
The level of stupidity is like...
It's really jumping out.
Honestly.
This man would struggle to do 2 plus 2 with a fucking calculator. The absolute state of him. He's such a stupid cunt. I can't deal with him.
They're giving me a migraine again.
We're going to David's story, right? Because this is... I tend to lean toward believing him, but...
Okay.
Whatever. So David's side of the story was that he arrived at the house and Ian asked him if he wanted the miniatures. And he said that he did. So Ian led him into the kitchen. He said when he went into the house, the sitting room door was closed, obviously hiding Edward. And Ian gave him the 3 mini bottles of spirits. So Ian went back into the sitting room and left David in the kitchen. David heard a high-pitched scream and Myra shouted for him to run in and help. He ran in and he said he saw a young lad lying with his head and shoulders on the couch and his legs were on the floor. Ian was standing over him with a hatchet. David said, and I quote, "He hit the lad on the left side of the head with the hatchet. I heard the blow. It was a terribly hard blow. It sounded horrible." He said Ian asked him to help move the body because he had hurt his ankle and he couldn't do it himself. David said he wouldn't be able to get as far as the car by himself, but suggested the spare room upstairs instead because Ian would be able to help.
Yeah.
He said that he was afraid Ian was going to kill him when they finished, but Ian let him go. His walk home was he spent just waiting for Ian to sneak back up on him. And he was like jumping and screaming at like every sound, as you can imagine.
Yeah. He said
as soon as he got home, he passed the bedroom where Maureen was sleeping and went straight for the bathroom where he was like violently sick.
Violently sick.
Yeah.
Maureen woke.
I believe that.
To the sounds of him moaning and got up to see him covered in blood and she panicked. He said he'd witnessed a murder and the murder had been done by Ian and Myra. And Maureen said they needed to go to the police. David said he wanted to go, but he was afraid to go straight away for fear because their houses were so close. He was afraid that they'd look out their window
and see him
and that they'd be watching the house or that they'd be watching from, you know, wherever, that they'd have followed him and that they'd come after him. So Maureen said, "That's grand. What we'll do is we'll wait till the morning time, be more people on the road, and we'll be able to kind of mingle."
Do you know what? I'm actually so glad as well that she believed him and it wasn't like, "What the fuck are you talking about? Like, my sister would never do this."
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Definitely. Like, how dare you say that the no one in my family would ever do anything like that? You're lying. You did it.
See, the thing is, I feel like he was probably in such a bad way. Like,
she couldn't not believe
if him. Someone's getting sick, being like, "I'm after seeing someone kill someone," and they're puking everywhere and they're like in hysterics.
I know, but I feel like I get that.
Yeah, some people like would that, have been like, yeah. "No, yeah. Myra would never."
I suppose, yeah, there's no level of delusional denial that you can live in that would let you
to
not
be honest,
see that.
Maureen grew up with Myra. She definitely knew what the girl was capable of on some level.
Mm.
So anyways, that morning at 6 a.m, so it was half three. And so they probably just stayed up and left at 6 o'clock that morning. David had a kitchen knife and Maureen had a screwdriver. So they made their way to the nearest telephone booth where they called the police, who sent a squad car to collect them. They were brought back to the station where David explained the story to the officers. And Superintendent Bob Talbot was called in. And this man was like very important in regards to criminal investigations, murders, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So David told them that Ian would leave for work at 8:30 that morning and that he had at least 2 guns. And it was organised that 24 uniformed officers would go to the house. Ian never got up to leave at 8:30 that morning, so they decided to approach the house. Bob Talbot is one of those policemen where I'm like, "You're a fucking good policeman," and I like the sound of you. He said he noticed.
Sorry, the genuine sigh of relief from Lizzie.
Oh, thank God!
It's like, oh, he did his job. Okay, good. We can relax.
No, because
now.
You know, like, he's competent, and he does things that make fucking sense,
like,
and he's clever.
God.
So he noticed,
God.
He in his head, he was like, "Listen, if I lock in the door in my uniform, they're not going to answer the door to me." So he noticed, back then, you know, there was milk deliveries and stuff. There was a bread man delivering bread. He borrowed the white coat off him before he knocked on the door.
Smart bastard.
Fucking legend.
So Myra answered and she was obviously like, you know, "Oh, I'm not expecting bread." She was kind of like, "Oh shit, sorry," kind of thing.
Mm.
And Bob asked her, "Was her husband home?" And she said she didn't have one. He said that he was a superintendent and that he knew there was a man in the house. Myra denied it. She said there was no one there. He took off his coat and pushed his way past her. And she was like, punched oh, fuck.
Good man, Bob.
So Bob, poor Bob, found Ian sitting on the sofa in the sitting room, right? I tell you, this sofa didn't have a back to it.
Of course it didn't, because why would it?
Okay.
So it was a fucking futon, is what you're telling me.
Or like a chaise longue. Like.
Literally.
What the fuck?
Oh, aggravated me. Jesus Christ.
Everything about him is tragic.
But then I was wondering, I was like, I wonder, was it that the back fell off? Are they that scruffy?
No, they know what, they just lost the fucking IKEA instructions and they're like, this will do. We've got this far.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if they kind of like it's one of those that someone was throwing, they were throwing someone through out, yeah.
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 And they just brought it home.
I'd say that's the most likely one.
Scruffy bastards. Listen, do you? But at the same time,
just because we knew that chair was mank because it was that's my dog problem. Hair as well.
And I in my head, I'm picturing it as being kind of orange with green on it.
Oh, see, really? I'm picturing more like green. I'm picturing greeny brown. I'm like sludge.
I'm kind of like
that weird khaki color that was real popular.
No, I'm picturing like a burnt orange with like green running through it, like green stripes. Not stripes, but you know, threads.
I get. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's very that's either way. Show in my head.
Very 60s. Yeah.
Ian was sitting on the couch wearing a string vest. When I heard this, I thought he meant like, you know, a penny string top. So I googled it. No. One of those fucking mesh, you know, the string. Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I you googled, were fucking.
I said men's string vest, 1960s. And you know the ones where it's like a wife beater, but it's not like solid. What? It's like the strings mesh.
No.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed for
was
him.
That, sorry, in the 60s, was that not like the uniform of the gay man, though?
I thought so. Isn't that the...
I'm just putting it out there. He's like, he's not doing himself any favours.
Ian is part of the bean, can we just say.
He had no interest in her at all. Like.
He is. No, he didn't.
Yeah, no. No.
Well, like, who would? But at the same time.
And then that's why the, like... I'm so fucking sorry for what I'm about to say because it is horribly morbid, but that would explain why it didn't matter with the small kids whether they were male or female because all kids have little boy bod.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have mattered. They weren't gendered then at that point.
Yeah, because you know they're like...
Yeah.
Little boy bods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking awful, but like no, that makes true. Sense like, to
it's,
me.
It's, yeah.
You're not wrong.
You're not...
Anyway, okay. Right, so he's sitting on the couch in his little screaming I'm gay top.
Yeah, yeah. Myra was still, you know, he
shook his fuck. Like, look everywhere but the policeman's eyes.
So obviously he was surprised to see the police in his fucking house because there was a literal dead person upstairs wrapped up like a fucking Christmas turkey.
Mm.
And that was so fucking what I'm on a roll with saying awful things. Anyways.
No, because I was going to say like pigs in a blanket. So, you know.
In fairness, the disrespect was not carried out by us. It was carried out by them. We're just listing the disrespect
that's
that was
true.
Yeah.
Put on them. So
Myra later said that she finally felt free when she saw the shocked look on Ian's face. Ian apparently had a notebook and pen.
Oh, did you?
And when Bob introduced himself and explained why they were there, he started writing like in the book. So anyways, they searched the house downstairs and Myra led the police to the stairs and followed them up. They opened the grandmother's room door where she was sat drinking tea. And Bob was like, oh shit, sorry, and closed the door. And then they tried the
spare
room. It's
like he's Potter doing something indecent, like, oh, sorry.
Avert your gaze.
Yeah, so they tried the spare room then, but the door was locked. Myra said she kept it locked because her firearms were in there and she had left the key in work. Bob said, listen, lady. We'll go to your fucking work. I'm waiting here till that door is open. Let's go to work, so, and get the key. Let's go. I've no bother going with you now. Someone will bring you. He said he wasn't leaving until he said he had a look. Ian shouted up the stairs for her to open the door that a fight had gotten out of hand, and that was it. So Myra opened the door, and they saw, like, Bob called it a parcel. Because, of course, that's probably what it looked like.
Mm.
That Edward was wrapped up in under the window. And there was a bag beside it that was open. And Bob looked in and there was a bloody axe inside. So Bob told Ian to get dressed and had two officers watch him while he did this. So in the event that they were caught, right? Ian and Myra had planned that they would shoot the police. Ian would shoot Myra and then he'd shoot himself. Both had the dumb fuck The lift is going upstairs. When?
Stupid gun.
Do you remember Sickens. When I said he took the shit off and he took his gun and his holster off because it was awkward when he was moving the body and he never mm-hmm. thought to bring him downstairs with him. Silly bastard.
Sickened. So, fuck you.
Ian was arrested. Myra wasn't, right? But she insisted on going with him. Her grandmother, of course, was like, what the fuck is going on? And in the meantime, Myra obviously passed the grandmother off to the neighbours and followed Ian to the Garda station.
Sorry, how docile is this granny? I'm not being funny. There are multiple children and now a man have been murdered under the roof that she is currently staying in, and then she's just so easily being able to like be passed off to neighbours.
Yeah.
I was like, it's alright, Nan, don't be worried.
But in fairness, I am thinking of my Nana, and I feel like my Nana would have been that docile as well. Genuinely.
Don't ask questions.
Genuinely, like not even messing. Yeah.
So, Myra got to the police station and refused to see anything more than the death was an accident. He had Puppet with her and asked for food for him, but she was told that she wouldn't be given food for him until she cooperated. And that was another thing, right? Myra wouldn't expand on the fact that it was an accident, that it was a fight that gotten out of hand. That was Ian, when he shouted upstairs, that was Ian being like, that's the story we're going with. Mm-hmm. So that was him getting, you know.
Yeah, quick cover story.
She said, I didn't do it, Ian didn't do it, I'm saying nothing, ask Ian, whatever Ian has done, I have done. Don't be saying stupid shit like that, you fucking dummy.
I didn't do it, but if Ian did it, then I did it.
So.
See, pick me, bitch.
Obviously were going to take her clothes for forensics and all that. So she had her mother bring in her clothes, so she had something to change into, and they took blood and saliva samples off her before she could head home with her mother. The house was cordoned off and searched top to bottom. They even dug down like 3 feet into the garden. And yeah. The notebook that Ian had been writing in had John Kilbride written on it. He was there sitting in his fucking string little fucking chitey top writing John. Oh, anyways. So the following day, Ian was formally charged with Edward's murder and he appeared in court the day after that. 4 days later, on the 11th of October, Myra was arrested and charged as an accessory in Edward's murder, as forensics had found blood spatters on her clothes, on her shoes specifically.
Yeah.
So okay. The logic was that if she had gotten the blood on her while she was cleaning, like she claimed, it would have been smears. These were spatters, like spray.
Spatters, yeah.
These 4 days, while she was fucking happy out, running around the place, free as a bird, she spent her time burning papers and envelopes into an ashtray, which she later said had contained plans for like armed robberies and details of the murders and the plans that they'd made in regards to them.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell you she had the cheek to ask their like their job, could she and Ian be fired so they could claim unemployment?
Like, hi, sorry, not to bother you, but I've been accused of murder and now I'm kind of desperately in need of money. I don't really want to go to work.
Child murder, nonetheless? So that I don't get... I want to be able to claim my stamps. Please and thanks. You know
what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm not being unreasonable in this situation. Like, fucking starve, Moira.
Go into fuck jail and be done with it.
How about just die? Sorry.
Or that, preferably. Just sink yourself into the fucking moors.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The only piece of evidence she wasn't able to destroy because it was still at the house was the ticket for the locker at the train station.
Yeah.
Right.
Where all the fucking evidence was. Because she's stupid.
Every single bit of evidence, yeah.
So,
stupid bitch.
Keen inside, you know, when he was being interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
He finally confessed to the murder, but he said that it was him and David who had carried it out and Myra had nothing to do with it. He said that he and Edward had had a fight that had become physical. Myra had just arrived home with David and he came in to help. Apparently, the hatchet was just laying on the floor.
Chilling in the bedroom.
Because fucking aesthetics, I guess. It was just in the middle. Like, what are you talking about? What are you fucking talking about? Who keeps their hatchet in the sitting room?
I'm surprised you genuinely... didn't say that it was like Disney style and birds flew it into him.
Yeah, literally dropped it down with a
like fucking modern art. Is it? if they'd had like a, you know, a display piece like that was on the wall or something, you know, some people had their swords and shit, I'd say, you know.
Yeah.
A fucking hatchet.
If it was like a fancy God of War axe, I'd be like, cool. But like, no. a hatchet that you use to chop wood, it should be outside in a block somewhere where they belong, where mine is currently.
Or not even that. Just leave it in the fucking shed.
Or in the shed, yeah.
Just leave it in the shed.
So, anyways, Ian picked up this hatchet that was lying on the floor like a fucking think piece and used it to hit Edward over the head with it. He said they left Edward there and he died while they were cleaning the floor. So he died of...
They didn't think to call an ambulance at any point to be like, yeah, I didn't mean to do it, but like, you know, I've really hurt.
Do you know what? This carpet was expensive and it's going to stain if we do not get this out right now.
Hey, come pick him up, bring bleach.
He and David moved the body and they were up until 3 or 4 making plans to get rid of it, you know. David told police how any incriminating evidence had been packed into suitcases and he had told them that they had picked up Edward at a train station and that sometimes he used to look for victims there. So,
That's interesting.
I'd say they were going sus. They were sussing people out constantly.
Oh, big time.
They just, when they found one that, not to be gross, but sound like the look of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gross, but, you know.
No, but that is it.
Sure, they used to do that anyway. Do you remember when they said they would like have a code word that they used to shout out when they saw
them know.
A good looking man or woman?
Oh, yeah. So
it was like,
it was, oh my god, didn't they say something DC, really fucking weird? Like delicious
creature.
Delicious creature. Yeah, I knew it was something fucking disturbing. Oh, Christ. So,
on the 15th of October, the police found the locker in Manchester train station. Inside, they found the case with the photos and the recording of Leslie, the photos of the saddler Moore, and a notebook with John Kilbride written in it. I was like, how many times has Ian sat there and written this lad's name down on a piece of paper?
I don't know if it was quite like that, because I came across this, but I didn't mention it when I was on about John Kilbride's murder for this exact reason, because I knew it would come up and it was a bit of a like spoiler alert on how they got caught. So I didn't bring it up, but it said like during the chapter about John Kilbride that he broke his own rule and wrote his name into his murder book. So it was like he would write things, it was almost like a diary. But it seems that he named his victim as John Kilbride rather than he just
see
was
the way
writing,
it was
like,
said. It was like it was an empty
Mr.
notebook
Ian
with just like John Kilbride written in it. It was a diary.
No, it was his murder book.
Okay, that makes way more sense. Okay,
yeah.
It
had much more than just John Kilbride written in it, but that's what outed him as having been John Kilbride's killer, because they wouldn't have known otherwise.
So they obviously started door-to-door canvassing the area, trying to figure out who were witnesses of what. And one of their neighbours specifically said that a few of their neighbours said it, but one of them had said that they saw the couple going to the Moors often. And 150 officers were organised to search. Ian told the police that David had been slow to tell them about the suitcases because there was evidence against him in them. And when David heard this, he fucking freaked. He was like in bits. And the police eventually agreed to make him immune if he helped them convict Ian and Myra. So, I'd say David was... Maybe he was more involved than it says, but I feel like they just were kind of trying to pin it on him. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and that's what I was saying earlier about why Ian didn't try and pin it on him was because David ratted them out. David's the reason they got caught, and I was surprised that he kind of admitted that
to incriminating David with the evidence.
Do you get me?
But it seems to be that like he was at the start. I think you were absolutely right there that he was like, fuck David, he's coming down with us. And then he would have realized at some point there was no evidence to incriminate David in that suitcase because he didn't know about anything up until Leslie Ann was murdered. So I'd imagine that's then why he backtracked. He was like,
never mind.
Like, there's no point in trying to drag David down because I can't.
I'll just try and save Myra in the meantime.
So I just have to accept it. Exactly.
So Ian was shown the photos and tapes of Leslie. He said that he had taken them, but that she had left the house alive with David and had gotten into a car with David and another man.
Right.
Bullshit. But anyways.
Sure.
Myra cried when she heard the tapes but refused to say anything knowing that Ian would have had a story and she was afraid that she'd contradict it. On the 16th of October at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an officer was searching on the moor and he went to go to the bathroom. Like he found like a private spot probably to be pissed, like. And he spotted a bone sticking up from the ground. So Bob Talbot, who I was saying, he was very active in the case. Like, you know, a lot of the time in superintendents won't actually go and do the footwork. He was always there.
Yeah.
So we called Bob over to them, and the two men dug up their bare hands until they dug up an arm. And this is how they found Leslie Ann. So Leslie's mom had to identify her.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
But they could only show her certain parts of the body, as animals had found her and had obviously done damage.
Oh, no.
She had to listen to the tape and was shown pictures of Ian, who she, of course, didn't recognise. Leslie's father, or stepfather, wasn't allowed. Obviously, he wanted to go in and identify her to save Leslie's mom from having to look at it, but they wouldn't let him in because he wasn't a blood relative. And he was also seen as a suspect, and like all the locals and neighbors like ignored him and started avoiding him. So on the 21st of October, Ian and Myra were charged with Leslie's murder. Bob Talbot was looking at the photos that they'd found in the case and noticed that Myra was posing with Puppet on a spot close to where they'd found Leslie. So they took Puppet to the vet to get an accurate age, so they could get like a general time frame of when each photo was taken. Because Puppet was quite young, I feel like.
That's very interesting.
So they were able to kind of, as he grew, kind of get a general age and how, you know, when things would have happened. The dog...
That's fascinating. Yeah,
the dog, for some reason, was given an anaesthetic and actually died while he was under.
No! Oh, Puppet!
Yeah.
Well, Puppet didn't deserve
death. To be honest, I don't really understand why it was given an anaesthetic. Like, I can't imagine how invasive it would need to be, like... Like, you can get a general age of a, like, a dog. Like, I could look at a dog and be like, that's a few, you know.
Were they extracting fucking bone marrow or what?
I don't know. But anyways, I thought it was kind of strange. But Myra was irate. Like, she lost her fucking shit. And she told her mother that she thought that they'd killed her dog on purpose. Which, I mean, I can understand. Like, if I was her, I probably would have thought the same. But
yeah, as like a retribution thing. Like, honest, you're a horrible cunt, so we're killing your dog. Like,
Yeah.
Even I kind of had the same fucking thought there. I was like, maybe they did.
So,
yeah.
They were just like, fuck these people, hurt
I would have thought that if it was just a police one of them, she isn't going to do that.
Yeah, you know? No, that's true.
That was the only thing that I was like, that's a vet isn't going to put down a dog like that for no reason.
Man, to be fair, you don't, like, you wouldn't think, but maybe. Given the circumstance that it was indeed children, it was like, well, he knew he was, like, if he was putting the dog down, like, they put dogs to sleep all the time, they know it's not going to fucking hurt the dog. And so it's terrible to rob the life of the dog, obviously. But it's going to hurt her more than the dog is going to be in physical pain. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hopefully it just died by accident. But anyways. So all the detectives went back out onto the moor and they found an area that matched one of the photos. And their method of searching the ground was they all had a stick that they would just stab into the ground and they would pull it back out and smell the part that had gone into the ground.
Oh my fucking God.
Right. So within two pokes, a detective pulled his stick out and it smelled that badly that he nearly got sick.
Vomit.
And they found the remains of John Kilbride this way on this exact same day that Ian and Myra were charged with Leslie's murder.
Jesus Christ.
Ooh.
So they had John's mother identify his body and clothing on the 2nd of December in 1965, and Ian was charged with his murder, while Myra was only charged as an accessory. In November of that year, the death penalty had been abolished.
It always happens. Sorry, I went so high pitched there. It's disgusting. it annoys the fucking living shit out of me. It's like, you just miss it by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah.
For people that genuinely deserve it.
Like, I would be against the death penalty, right? But for stuff like this where there's actual proper evidence, as in there's a tape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's, like...
You can't escape that 100%.
No, like, there's video evidence. There's audio evidence. Like, there's no way of denying that you were involved in this. So, fuck you.
Exactly.
Like, I would say...
Exactly. I mean, even for Edward's fucking death alone, they deserve the chair, so...
I'd say, like, I would say different for just, like, evidence, like, but when there's literal proof that you can't deny.
Yeah, no, I fully agree.
Fuck them. Anyways, So, yeah, when the death penalty was abolished, they began searching for life imprisonment instead. Ian and Myra wanted to be married as married prisoners were allowed to be in contact.
Conjugal visits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But their request was denied, and they began sending letters written in German to each other. Fucking freaks! No offense, but.
As if I'm not being
God.
funny, the police aren't going to have an interpreter or somebody on the force that knows
They
how to
literally
fucking speak
did.
German. Like, did they think they were
Yeah,
like
honestly.
MI5 and were having some secret code? Like, they're actually
Can
so
we
embarrassing.
not talk about what happened 15 years ago where we had to break all of that shit? Like, of course they know German. Of course they know
Like, there
German.
was
They
just a
were
world war.
required to learn
Do you know
German
what I mean?
because of
There was
it.
just a world war.
Fucking idiots.
In one
Idiots.
letter,
Idiots.
Ian asked Myra to send him a stimulating letter describing things like hurting children.
But we didn't do
Their
it.
trial began on April 19th, 1966, and lasted for 2 weeks, 15 days specifically. Judge Fenton Atkinson presided, and the courtroom actually had to be fitted with both Ian, fitted with, oh, I fucked that up, had to be fitted with like plastic panels, like glass paneling.
Perspex, yeah.
Yeah, because first of all, to protect both Ian and Meyer from the public. Because people were obviously really mad, but also to protect witnesses
Imagine.
and prosecutors, because Ian had actually taken a spitting at them as they walked past.
I
So,
know you have wide set eyes like a camel, my love, but that does not mean that you need to fucking act like one too.
he's rank. So, as the couple were
Oh
being led
God.
into the courthouse, two people covered in blankets jumped out onto the police car, and they turned out to be Leslie's father and her uncle. They were arrested and brought back to the station, but were released and just told, listen, I get where you're coming from, but don't come back, or it'll be an actual
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ian and Myra pleaded not guilty to all three murders, but there were over 150 pieces of evidence and 86 witnesses were called to testify. The prosecutor's main witness was David, who had since only turned 18 and had to testify for 7 hours. When I tell you the lad turned up in skinny jeans and a velvet shirt.
Oh my God, bless him. But I'm not being funny. He
He
probably
is
thought
not a criminal
he's
mastermind.
really not. Like, he's like, these are my clubbing clothes, but these are my best clothes. So I have to
Yeah.
show up in court looking well.
Yeah. The
Because you can't have
prosecution.
anybody saying, you're like, oh my God, this lad's a scruff. Like, he's from a
Yeah.
bad part of town. He's definitely fucking lying.
Honestly, like, I'm sorry, there's no way this child had anything to do with it. There's just no way. I don't
No
believe it.
harm,
Prosecution
sorry
made him
here.
go
Do
put
you know
on
what I
a
mean?
tie during one of the breaks. They were like, lads, go back and put on a fucking
Bad.
tie. Where the fuck? So, yeah, it was revealed after the trial that David had actually been offered money for his story, but he would
Yeah.
only be given the money if the couple were convicted. And the judge called this like a gross interference with the court of justice, because of course it is. It's Maureen tried to paint
Bastards.
Myra as a sweet and innocent woman who had changed after she had met Ian, and she was asked if she was to receive money for her
Of course it
story
is, yeah.
too, and she said she was, but it hadn't affected her story. It was just going to be a bonus, we'll say. So Ian tested for 8 hours, and Myra testified for six. Myra claimed she wasn't present for the murders. She also claimed she wasn't present for Leslie's
Right.
murder, but had spent the time running a bath and looking out the window. The prosecution also, just being a fucking ditzy bitch, the prosecution also focused on Ian's fascination with Nazi paraphernalia.
Just
He said
being,
he
yeah,
just liked
shit
the
on the
Nazi aesthetics, but not their politics. He said that he admired Hitler's boldness and courage with how he had implemented his ideas in Germany. How about shut the fuck up? You fucking idiot. The Nazi aesthetics.
Oh, so you're just a fan of Skull and Crossbones, like, shut up.
So Ian admitted to hitting Edward with the hatchet, but said that he hadn't actually died from the hit, so it didn't count.
Well, then you then strangled him with fucking wire.
I don't
What?
think he's saying that it's because he kind of like he didn't die on the spot. He just took a while. That's the same
But
thing, dumb
you're
fuck.
still murdering him nonetheless. Like, well, I don't understand. What's Dave, or where's the confusion coming from? Like, you still murdered this man.
No, he
What?
died of natural
He's an
causes
idiot.
after he whacked him
He's
with
an
an axe
idiot.
12 times in the head and strangled him with wire.
So it was technically an act of God.
He died of blunt
Yeah.
force trauma. I hit him with an axe. It's not my fault. So the jury then had to listen to the photos and listen to the tape of Leslie's attack, and it had to be explained that when Ian was telling her to put it in her mouth, that they weren't talking about a gag.
Please, please, like, yeah.
I hoped it was. I knew it wasn't, but I hoped it was. I delusioned it for myself. I was like, no,
I hope
no,
so
they
too.
They just want her to like...
On the 6th of May at 2:40 p.m, the jury began their deliberations, and when they were going in, they asked for Ian's notebook, the disposal plan for Edward's body, and Myra's blood-spattered shoes. 2 hours later, they came out and they asked for the dates of when the guns were bought. At 5 p.m. that evening, they found Ian guilty of all three murders and found Myra guilty of the murders of Leslie and Edward. The judge asked Ian had he anything to say, and Ian said no, except that the guns were bought. The guns were bought in July 1964.
Okay.
Well, that's a great fucking thing. I wasn't asking for the receipt, you dumb cunt, to do your taxes. Like, why is that important?
He's an idiot.
Why is that important?
He looked at Myra, you know, being like, do you want to say anything? But she didn't want to talk. And I tell you now, the judge was definitely mad that he couldn't have them put down.
Definitely.
Like rabid dogs.
Definitely.
Yeah.
He gave Ian 3 concurrent life sentences, and he gave Myra 2 concurrent life sentences plus a 7-year sentence for being an accessory in John's murder. They were allowed to speak once together before they were sent to 2 different prisons, and Myra said she asked him not to kill himself. So Ian was sent to Durham Prison in the north prison in the northeast of England, and Myra was sent to Holloway Prison in London. They wrote each other letters weekly until March 1972. Ian used to write to her every Friday, but she ended their relationship as she had found God and she knew Ian would never accept this change in her.
Yeah. For the second time, because she found God the first time, and that's why she like fell into all of this bullshit in the first place.
So she applied to be placed in general population, and once this was granted, she enrolled in the Open University and began studying humanities. In January of 1973, Myra began a relationship with a prison officer, Patricia Cairns. Yeah. And by that November, they had came up with a plan that would have Myra escape, because they wanted to run away to Brazil to become missionaries together.
You're lesbian.
Write a fucking fanfic, you dirty bitch, and be done with it.
You can't join a missionary as a lesbian. That's not in the Bible. It's not allowed.
Yeah, I don't know what they thought. And as a child rapist murderer, you know.
It was actually...
Who are you
primarily taken to the prison officer, but like,
and what about you know, honestly? You've broken how many of the Ten Commandments? I'm gonna say at least 7.
One might say all of them. Oh,
I mean, she definitely lied, she definitely stole, she definitely was jealous of people, she was definitely coveting. The only thing she probably didn't do was adultery.
No, she did, she fucked the policeman.
Do you remember when she was with Ian and we were like,
yeah,
it's part of like, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, but thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's kids is close enough. So,
Patricia, the police officer, or the prison officer rather, enlisted the help of 22-year-old inmate Maxine Croft, who was serving 3 years for writing false checks. She was a prison trustee, and this meant that she had access to parts of the prison that most prisoners didn't. She was allowed to go out on day trips and stuff like this into London. And she came back after one of them, and it was like she realised how serious this whole thing was, and told the guards what was going on. So Patricia was fired, arrested, and was charged with attempting to aid an escape.
Mm.
All 3 of them were put on trial. Patricia was given 6 years, Myra had an extra year added on to her sentence, and Maxine was given an extra 18 months. Maxine appealed this and won and was released immediately.
Yeah.
Which I think is fair. Yeah. To be honest, a prison officer over you, probably threatening you.
It's an abuse of power, you know, as well. Like,
she
doesn't,
the fact
I mean,
that she came forward at all is a blessing, and they shouldn't punish her for that.
No, because people won't come forward in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, fuck you for doing the right thing. How does that help
anyone? Literally. Ian spent nearly 20 years in prison before he was moved to Ashworth Psychiatric Hospital, where he was diagnosed as a psychopath. I mean, I could have fucking told you that myself, but anyways.
Yeah, literally.
20 years.
He often said that he wanted to die and went on hunger strike in 1999 and had to be force-fed until 2012. Let him fucking starve.
Yeah.
I suppose you're not allowed, but whatever.
No, they're not allowed. They would have wanted to, believe me.
I mean, I'm sure somebody could have turned a blind fucking eye. They do it all the time. So,
like, oh, we forgot to feed Ian again.
Oh, shit, lads. Oh, he's too much. He's emaciated now. But you know what? He's too far gone. So what can we do?
Well, sure. Anyways. So he said that the murders were an existential exercise and that they had moved past them by 1964. They'd gotten bored of these things.
Oh, fuck.
And were planning on moving on to armed robberies next.
No bullshit. Sorry. Big load of lies because you planned to originally start with armed robberies, pussied out and kill small children instead because you didn't have the fucking bollocks to do anything against adults. How about don't lie? How about you're in prison for life? How about you face what a piece of shit you are? How about that?
So on November 29th, 1984, a journalist for the Sunday People, Fred Harrison, was the first person who was allowed to visit with, or not allowed, but he was the first person.
Who wanted
first
to?
Person to visit Ian in 9 years. I'd say he was probably the first person maybe that Ian wanted to see. So he jumped straight in with the digs and on his first visit said that Ian looked like he was at least 90. On his second visit, he began to get details of the murders of Pauline Reed and Keith Bennett, and he began getting details of murders that nobody knew anything about.
Mm.
Fred fumbled this and began posting his findings and articles that Ian ended up finding out about, and then he started he refused any more meetings.
Stop.
If Fred, the fucking fool, had just held out and collected all this evidence and then released the fucking book, wouldn't he have been a millionaire?
Exactly. And we would all have the goddamn truth.
And I'm not being funny as well. I wonder would Keith Bennett, like, would they have found him? Yeah. Because, like, he, like, Ian refused to talk about him even to, like, the day he was, like, 90-odd and fucking died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ian was actually just being a massive bastard when he started confessing to all these murders, because he told Fred that he and Myra had committed them together. He had actually heard that she was up for a parole hearing, had heard she might get it, and wanted to sabotage her. And obviously when all this came out that she had been involved in other murders that hadn't been proven, her application was denied.
Yeah, good. Fuck you.
So at the end of 1986, Myra received a letter from Keith Bennett's mother asking for help in locating the bodies, and Myra decided to help. Some people think that she was like moved emotionally by the contents of this letter, and others think that she was basically saying, it'll help my parole opportunities.
It'll back up my case that I'm saying I've changed.
Yeah.
So she recorded a 17-hour tape confessing to the murders, and on the 16th of December 1986, she was taken to the moor to look for the bodies. She was taken a second time on March 24th, 1987, where she spent most of her time pointing out the spots that she pointed out the first time they were there.
Yeah.
So Myra's tape was due to be released to the public. You know, there's like a time frame before that, you know, things have to be released by.
Yeah.
And there was pressure on the police to find the bodies before this happened. They, luckily for the police, found Pauline Reed's body on July 1st, 1987, about 300 yards from where Leslie was found, in an area that Myra had pointed out.
Mm.
So Ian, being the fucking attention whore that he is, decided that he would help the police look for Keith's body. He couldn't find him. He couldn't, you know, to know whether or not he couldn't remember where it was or if he just was...
Was just pulling the piss. I do not believe
I think he just wanted a day out. Like, he was like, I'm sorry, how many people are buried there? You're going to remember, like, where you put them.
Like, you can remember enough to go back and pose, do with pictures and stuff. You can remember to tell where.
And I seem to recall him saying that they marked each of the graves with something that only they would know was a marker so that they could know where to go back.
So, you know what I mean?
So, what are you lying for?
So, they ended up dropping the search because obviously Ian was taking the piss, and they decided they wanted to try again. So they brought him out at 5 a.m. on the 8th of December. 5 a.m. on the 8th of December. It was going to be pitch black. Anyways, I won't get into that because it annoyed me when I read that. 5 a.m. on the 8th of December, but they had to drop the search after 9 hours of searching because he found nothing yet again. So in 2002, Myra died in prison at the age of 60 of bronchial pneumonia brought on by heart disease. And Ian died on the 15th of May in 2017 in Ashworth Hospital. David was never charged with anything, but it was rumoured that he had been involved in the murders. He was harassed horribly by locals, and one of his neighbours was at him so much that David ended up actually stabbing him multiple times. And David was sentenced to 3 years in prison in July of 1969 and ended up dying in Ireland in 2012, years later. So Maureen left David when he went to prison. They broke up. They had three kids at this stage, and she was unable to cope with minding the three kids by herself, and she gave them up to government childcare. So when David was released in 1972, he got custody of the three kids and divorced Maureen in 1973, and he ended up actually getting remarried.
Man, David.
Right, actually, right after he got custody of the kids, he was actually arrested again and spent 2 days in prison because his dad had been diagnosed with cancer, and David gave him milk with over 20 crushed up sodium amytyl pills inside, like a mercy
David.
Killing.
It's assisted suicide, not really a mercy. Yeah. I'd say the father asked him to do it, like.
Yeah.
It was mercy killing was the word used, but yeah, assisted suicide basically is what I kind of understood it as well.
Oh, the poor bastard. He had an awful life after.
Yeah. All for what? All because he fucking Maureen, literally.
Yeah.
So Maureen remarried to a man 22 years her senior, and they had a daughter, Sharon. In 1980, she suffered a brain hemorrhage, and Myra was actually allowed to go visit her, but Maureen had died by the time she arrived.
Oh.
And, yeah, unfortunately, Keith Bennett's grave was never found.
No. Like, my nan, and, like, obviously my aunties and stuff used to listen to the radio to, like, his mum Winnie crying out and, like, pleading on the radio every weekend, literally every weekend, like clockwork. She used to come on and do it. For information to where, like, he could be and stuff, like, for fucking years, literally until the day that woman died. Mm. She was on that radio.
Yeah.
So sad.
She was a powerhouse. I actually read quite a bit about Winnie after my episode the last time, because, as I said, the stepfather was accused in that case as well.
Mm.
And I had been concerned that the man may have killed himself. He did not. He went on to live quite a full life, actually. Both of them did. They carried on, and fair fucking play to them. She never forgot him, obviously, as you said, every time, every week, out in the fucking radio. She still had, like, his picture up in him, but she was a brave fucking soul, like.
Yeah.
A brave soul. You can find quite a bit
about her. She'd be up looking in the moors at, like, her fucking old age and everything, looking for her child and everything. It's fucking heartbreaking.
She never gave up, but she never gave in either. Like, she kept strong for her living children and the ones that came after Keith. She had quite a few after as well, I think. Fucking hell of a woman. Hell of a woman. Just wanted to say that because I just happen to know a bit about her now.
Yeah.
Because I just came across it because I wanted to find out what happened to the stepfather, if he kind of was okay after. And he was. And I'm glad about that. I am glad about it. But yeah. Ugh, Christ.
I have no more words.
No.
Me neither.
It's, yeah.
Oh.
I still feel like, even though I'm they went to prison inside. And all that stuff, like, it just wasn't
satisfactory. I just think it's
enough.
Not satisfying because we didn't find Keith.
No. Yeah.
Like, they only found Pauline because Keith's mom begged for them to go looking for the two bodies.
Yeah.
And Keith was never found. It's just not fair.
It's not. No. It's a bit ridiculous as well, considering all the graves were kind of radiused around each other, weren't they? So I feel like it should have been easy enough to find him, but then again, time is the enemy.
But like, if the bodies are buried that shallowy that, like, sticking a stick into the ground finds them, like, were dogs not of any use?
But like, that's taken on, like, did they, like, do something different with him? Like, you don't know.
Yeah, true. See, that's the problem. And we don't know, and we'll never know, because the two cunts are dead and they never told the truth. Like I said at the fucking start of my episode, there's three sides to this story. Moira's, fucking Ian's, and the actual goddamn truth. And we'll never know it. We'll only know there too.
Mm-hmm. Ian's is closer to the truth than Moira's is.
Definitely.
100%. She's a big lying bitch if I've ever seen one.
And a bad one as well.
She's horrendous. So, shit at it.
So I think we can safely say fuck the pair of them. And I'm thrilled we're over with this story.
Honestly.
Oh, God. That was harsh. It was harsh. Yeah, we're done. That's it. That's their story. I never wish to bring them up again. May they rot in hell with Dean Corll.
Yeah.
Yes. Right beside him.
Mm-hmm. And
right, fuck him beside him.
Fuck him. Fuck them all. Justice for all of them. Terrible. And at any point, if it seemed like we were in any way, like, judging Ian for being gay, that's not the point. I'm just
pointing
it out.
No,
that
no.
It seems to be that was a deep source of shame for him. He was hiding it.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like it was a slight motivating factor. Not a complete motivating factor. We've had plenty of positive gays who never killed anyone.
Yeah.
But it definitely wouldn't have helped.
I think it just more so affected who he went after more so than it actually
was. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I agree with that. So yeah, just wanted to make that clear. Be gay. Be whatever you want to be. Don't really care. People are people. We're not about that life here. No. Yeah. So just so we're not accused of hating gay people.
Sorry. I hate a string vest.
String vest can go die with him. Like,
honestly, I know they're practical for warmth, but like I hate any vest for a man. Like I just practical feel like for warmth. Weird.
They're made of strings.
No. Not the string vests. I mean vests in general. I hate all vests. Yeah. So that's it. We're going to move on. We will be back next week with a secret episode. We're not giving out the details yet. We'll let you know.
Because it's a secret to ourselves, you know.
I was trying to pretend it wasn't. Like as if we're organised now that we're back. But no. We're hoping to be back every week. There shouldn't be any more failures. If one of us has to fucking do a soliloquy, then we will. Fuck it. We'll be back every week.
Yeah.
And that's all. And we thank you for joining us once again for the most horrendous fucking series that we've ever covered. And that's all. We're still in the pandemic, so positive vibes and negative tests, and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our club.